Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of James. Bibles to the book of James. If I can get this thing out of there. There we go. We, I think, are all excited. Lord willing, next Tuesday, Pastor will be flying back in. And so, at least for us staff guys, we're excited about that. That's for sure. Looking forward to him being back. And so I hope, though, that you don't take the same approach that Brother Matt told me about his wife tonight, that you look up here and see the principal. That's the guy that's preaching tonight. I can't look at that guy. He's the principal. He's the guy getting on to us. No, I enjoy the opportunity, and I always come and I have the opportunity to preach and just to say thank you to Pastor, and never take it lightly, the fact of letting one of us be able to stand behind his sacred desk of preaching here, and I look forward to it. And often it's the battle of what do you preach, or what's the last guy that's preached? And to have Brother Martin, who preached a couple Sundays ago, and then, of course, Brother Brown, and then Vacation Bible School. And so I look forward to just even being associated in conversation. Then I get the acclaimed and famed real Brother Bragg on Sunday. My dad preaches, so he's the, as I look at it anyway, the true Brother Bragg, as people is like, Brother Bragg, no, that's my dad. That is the Brother Bragg. But I'm looking forward to hearing him preach on Sunday morning. And so I know that was who's the Brother Bragg that's preaching tonight? That's me. And then Sunday would be my dad. We're looking at James chapter 1. And possibly for me anyway, I've always kind of taken a topic and a thought and just really develop that thought or that topic. And first time really doing something different that I haven't done. And pretty much it's been a topical outline in the past. And this time I'm taking more of an expository approach on the book here. And when I come to preach, I don't know how it is with, I don't know, listening to pastor. I know it is this case from time to time. Of course, when there's something of a subject matter that needs to be dealt with, he preaches the truth and doesn't hold back from that. But oftentimes the messages that he gets are just from reading God's word on his day-to-day Bible reading. That's where he gets, you know, he is fed from that. And then he feeds us with that as well. It's something that's helped him. And so that's where I'm going with this in James chapter 1 tonight, is just something that I got that was helpful looking at it as a Christian. And I hope you can follow with me tonight of where I'm going. As I say thank you to Pastor, I also like to take the time to say thank you if you financially help in any way, shape, or form with our school. We're coming down to the end of the year as far as with KES, two new commitments coming here before long. And I greatly appreciate those that sacrificially give to our Knights Educational Society here at the school. And just the Lord has done some amazing things. Looking forward to the school year. Thought maybe it was going to be a little bit of a decline, if you will, going into the school year. But, you know, God has other things in store. And so we'll be the mid to the higher 80s this year, which is even higher than last year. And so just God is good. And it's a blessing to be a part of Christian education. And I'm just counted as a joy to be a part of that. And I always like to come to say thank you to you folks that financially help there. We'll start there in James chapter 1 and verse number 1. And it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let your patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Just for time's sake, I'm going to stop there and let's have a word of prayer before we get into the message. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would do a work. I pray that you would get me out of the way, and I pray that your Holy Spirit and what you would have me to say is exactly what I should say and not say. Pray that I don't. I pray that you would bless each one of us. And tonight I just want to be a blessing, and I pray that you would help again our pastor, and I pray that you would be with the meetings over there with Brother Ben. I know they're going through a revival. I pray that all goes well. I pray for our teens tonight again. Bless them, Brother Andrew, as they're away. Give us a good evening in your name, we pray. Amen. Well, just to give you a background, and I guess if I had a title to the message, it would be this: On a Journey with Jesus and James. On a Journey with Jesus and James. Because really, honestly, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that's what we are. We're on a journey of this Christian life with Jesus. Or Jesus, and we have Jesus with us if we're a saved individual. In the crowd on a Wednesday night, I imagine coming to a Wednesday night, most of us, Lord willing, all of us are saved. And so kind of give you a background of the book here of James. The book is written in approximately about AD 62 by James. Many believe James was called James the Just. If you do any study about James in the Old Testament, there were three. I believe there was James the Beloved, there was James the Lesser, and then you have James here. Or as many would say, he is the half-brother of Jesus and the son of Alphaeus. And so as we go through this chapter, I just want to give you a little bit about him and about what's going on. They believe he was a religious man, although some commentaries say that he may not have started out that way. And again, maybe they could battle back and forth on that. That's not for me, okay? They also say he was a legal man, because in Acts 15, he served on the council of Jerusalem where Paul and Barnabas were being questioned in front of the Pharisees. They were questioning them about the fact that these Gentiles were getting saved. These Gentiles were saved, and they were saved. They said, wait a minute, they can't get saved. They haven't been circumcised. They're not following the law of Moses. There's no way that can be. How is this possible? And so we see it's James, and then it goes into a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So how are these 12 tribes being scattered abroad? Well, they're being persecuted. They're Jews. They're Jewish Christians that have been driven out. As they believed, and these Pharisees, they were saying, wait, we're not following the law. And so, you know, what are you guys going to do about it? That's basically what they were there for. So James is sitting on the council. That's why he's called James the Just, is what his name many would call him. So here in James chapter 1, we see that. You might ask yourself, well, Brother Mike, I'm not Jewish. So this is him writing to the Jewish people. Well, guess what, folks? They went to the Jew first and they didn't receive it. So then they went to us. To the best of my knowledge, we're all Gentiles in here. And so it applies to us. And we need it. And I need it when I was looking at this passage of Scripture. Man, there's things that the Lord just, man, I need that. This is what I needed. And so I just want to give you a little bit about that background as we get started into this. So hold your place there in James 1, because I want to reference that passage of Scripture just to kind of springboard into the rest of the chapter here as we keep going. And go to Acts chapter 15. So if you'll go there to Acts chapter 15. Again, just to kind of lay the foundation, Acts chapter 15 and verse number, let me back up to verse number 7, because there it says, I'm sorry, verse number 5, there's where really it says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, doesn't that sound like things that happen now with our own government officials? There's been much disputing. Peter got up, rose up, says, enough of this, and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how what a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, giving them, my Bible has capital Holy Ghost there, they were saved. That's what they went out preaching to them about, even as he did unto us. He did the same for you, Pharisees, that we're doing right now. That's what these guys are doing. They're preaching the word of God. That's what they were supposed to do. Verse number 9, and put no difference between us and them. You don't have any right to judge them like us. We don't have any right. They're just as equal as we are in this thing. Purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? Really what you're doing, fellas, is you're just tempting God in this matter. He already settled it. He already said it. Why are you tempting him with it? And so look what goes on. To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. We couldn't even bear that same. So why do you expect that out of them? He asked them that question. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord right there. As even as they're able to get saved, just as you're able to get saved. And I love it there. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence. Nobody had anything else to say after that. Man, he just slayed them right there. Just told them how it was. And if you'll flip back then to James 1, I just wanted to lay that foundation as we get going of James, what he saw before him. Again, Paul and Barnabas on those missionary journeys and seeing folks saved because it wasn't happening around there in Jerusalem. There's other places. Well, what are they doing? How is this happening? And James writing the book to this group of people, as we see the epistle of James, I think James just gets stirred in his heart. As it says, a servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. He's talking to his own group of people here. Because you say, how do you know that to be true? Well, let me show you a few places where in verse number 2 it says, my brethren. We'll go also to the same book in James chapter 1, verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren. He's talking to people he knows. Sounds like he's talking to people that he knows and loves. Verse number 2, or chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren. Chapter 2, verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren. If you flip over to mine as a page over into chapter 3, my brethren. He talks to them there. Then he goes to verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren. And then chapter 4, I believe he was just rebuking. And so he had no time to talk to them in a loving voice there in chapter 4. But he goes to chapter 5 and he goes to verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Then we get to verse 10. Take my brethren, verse number 12, same chapter, chapter 5. But of all things, my brethren. And then second to the last verse, he concludes with, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. So over and over and over, in fact, if you're counting 11 times, he talks about his own people. He's talking about his own. So tonight I come to you as one of your own, if you will. That's where I'm up here tonight talking about. And so we see, and I just want to point out some practical lessons that we see out of James 1 here. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we begin to share our testimony about what Christ has done for us. And it sometimes can sound like before I found Jesus, I had problems. That might be true. I might have had some real, real big problems. But now my problems have been solved. They're all solved. The Christian life is not that simple. It's just not. We still go through hard times as believers. We still know that we are in the midst of these hard times, even to today, 2022. We still have those hard times. We still go through things. And some of the same battles that were going on with where James and to writing to these Jews, you know, the same problems we face, the same things we go through, the same things we struggle with, if you will. You know, again, we're not alone. It's not us and nobody else. Rather, we are accompanied and resourced by the God who is all wise and infinitely good. So we are able through prayer and faith-filled action to have joy regardless of our circumstances. Or at least we should. Regardless of our circumstances. Honestly, the theme of this book he gives, my brethren, he's talking to his own. He's giving that. And so I start off with that, and let's go to verse 2 and really dive into this. As he says, my brethren, a quick point, God has given us his word for us to read and enjoy. Yes, he has. He has also given us as believers to, I believe, discuss and to challenge each other with. And is that not what he's doing here, is challenging others with this? I don't know about you, but recently I've just been challenged about this thing of, as much as possible, just to be talking about God's word, just to be engrossed into what God's word is and what it's about, and it's enjoyable. And I know I work in a place where I'm around Christians all the time. It's so much easier for me. I get that. Well, even when I hear a message, it's, I never thought about that in that way. I thought about that message Sunday morning Brother Brown preached, and the different people, and how it had the one that was, you know, submissive, if you will, to the one that was a leader. And I just really had never grasped that before. So good. But just begin to talk to people about, man, did you ever think about that? Had ever come up with you before? And boy, verses of Scripture should challenge us. They should push us to challenge other people. So as we look here in verse number 2, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. That doesn't sound real encouraging, let me tell you. Count it all joy when you trouble happens, when things don't go your way. And so it's something that happens from time to time. It really does. We see verse 2 as it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Then there's that semicolon. There's more. Oh, but hold on. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It worketh patience. Wait a minute. So you're saying in 2022 we can have some patience through all the craziness that's going on? I believe this is an all-word Bible. It's all-inclusive. Got it all there. So I believe that, yeah, we can have some joy in the things that are going on right now. And that's really my first point. Joy in the testings. Because really that's what that word temptations mean. It means testings. It means there's going to be trials. There's going to be things that happen in the Christian life along the way that God's going to say, can you bear that? Can you handle that? Are you able to handle this situation? You might be facing something right now. The smallest of things or the greatest of things. You say, I don't know how to bear it. The Bible says count it all joy. Count that as a joy. And so we see, yep, not only that, but it says right there, if, not when, if there, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And back to verse 2, my brother, count it all joy. When? Not if, but when. When is it going to happen? It's going to happen. Not if it happens, but when it happens. Because everybody comes to that time, that challenging, struggling thing that happens in our life where it's just like, I can't get over it. It just got a hold of me. It's just gripping me. You know, everybody has different stages of life with this thing. Everybody does. Everybody has their own. There's different things that we can handle and others can't handle. That's just part of it. I'll use an illustration here. Ray, can I have your help? Ray, you look like you're ready to do some carrying tonight. Now, I know what you're thinking. I've read all these. That is not the case. Not even close. All right, Ray. Here you go, sir. We're going to let Ray tonight represent a newly saved Christian. Okay, we're going to let him represent that newly saved Christian. And, you know, God gives us things that we can handle. And God gives things that young Christians can handle. There's those testings, those trials that, you know, at certain stages of life that as a new Christian you can handle that God gives you at the right time. He does. But he gives you that test. This is the American Patriot Bible, by the way, all right? So I got that from Mrs. Calson. Don't hurt it, all right? Sacred Duty, good book. Again, the best book is the Bible, just saying that there, all right? How Satan Turned America Against God. That's a very hard, challenging book there. Civil War, like history. So you got some, you know, as a new Christian, there's some testings that come. There's some things that happen in the life of somebody that is newly saved that you got to get over. There are some testings that God gives us. And yes, he does only give us those things that we can bear. And follow me where I'm going with this. The joy that we can have as a Christian. And as we grow and we mature as that Christian, trying not to get ahead of myself, but mature as a Christian, God gives us a little more. And so let's let Ray now represent a Christian 10, 15, 20 years. Ray can handle a little more. Ray can handle a little bit more testing. Ray can handle, or he should be able to handle that. But unfortunately, I feel like sometimes all we really want is that testing. That's all we really want. That's all we really want to handle. And that's where I've been really convicted about this thing of looking through this passage of Scripture is not that I know that God isn't with me through it, is I sometimes put the guard up and say, all right, God, this is all I want to handle. This is all I really want. I know that you'll help me through the joy and through the trial. I know that. You've told me that, and I can lean on that. But my struggle sometimes is I want to stop it. It's just like, it's maybe too much. I probably can handle it. That's probably a little bit more than I want to handle. And the issue sometimes is, sometimes here we are as the Christian that's been saved for a long time, and we're holding the big stack of stuff, and there's a new believer, and we're saying, you know what? I see that stack, but I don't want that. You got a trial in your life. Yeah, I see that, but I don't really want that. Instead, we should be saying, hey, let me help you a little bit. Let me take some of that off of you a little bit. Let me help you with some of those trials. Let me help you with some of those testings that you have. Let me pray for you. Let me help you in that area. But oftentimes, here's where I'm at is, nope, I got enough. I'm good. That's all I can handle. Sorry, Lord. Don't need any more than that. Don't need any more. And hey, let me pause for a second, put a pause on us, maybe saved a little longer in life, but also to say, hey, to new Christians, don't dump it all back on them. Oh, let me help you. So I'm going to give it all back to you. I have no problem. That's not going to happen. There's still going to be trials. There's still going to be testings that come along the way. We're just supposed to be there to share one another's burdens. We're supposed to help one another in that way. And so that's when the joy can come in. That's when we can rejoice with one another about that. That's when it comes in. It's like, I'm stuck with this, Brother Mike. I'm there too sometimes. I'm stuck with that. But maybe it's because I've gotten this is all I want and not can I help in this other area? Maybe I'm the only one. I doubt it. I doubt I'm the only one. That's what happens sometimes in the Christian life. We just get in those. Thank you, Ray, for your assistance tonight. And so as we keep going down through this, we're going to see that. In fact, turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Man, I always get up here and think, I am not enough material, and then time just flies by. Romans chapter 5. I don't have time to go through all this, but this is what they're talking about here is a saved Christian, justified Christian, okay? Romans chapter 5, Paul's talking here, and he says to them, hey, listen, go to verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. There's your tribulations. We're supposed to glory in those. Tribulations also, so there's more to it, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, more to that, goes experience, and experience hope. So if we see the progression as we're going through, we ought to be able to handle more as a child of God. That's what we ought to be. And it shouldn't just be us saying, I don't think so. That's little more than I'm comfortable with. Well, what's wrong with getting out of our comfort zone sometimes? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with stretching us a little in our Christian faith sometimes? Again, I'm with you here, folks. I get a little too comfortable. Well, that person has a need, and he needs... they're calling right now. Oh, man, I know they are going to be all over me about their trial they're having. I do not want to take that phone call. Come on, let's be honest. It's like they only call for when trouble happens, or they only call when this. Let's be honest. That's what happens. That's what we go through as Christians. So Paul's just telling them, hey, the trials are going to come. It's going to happen. What are we going to do with them, though? Where are we going to step up to the plate, if you will? Where's that going to happen? So we see joy in testing. I think we also see, if you'll go back to James then, or we should see, a faith that's working. A faith that's working. In verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We could all use a little patience. We all need that from time to time. And just with people or family or a situation, patience, people, slow down. It's okay. It's not bad just to stand there. I know we all have 15 other things going on, but to hear somebody's need that they legitimately have and just to listen to them. Sometimes we pass over people, we're just walking by and because I don't want to stand there and listen to that. Or I know where that's going to lead. Come on now. Don't quiet up on me here. That's where we're at sometimes. I know I am. So we see that is something of patience. It's convicting, really is for me anyway. Number 3, more patience brings more maturity. I talked about that in that illustration. It should bring some more maturity. Here's really where the rubber meets the road. As a new Christian, I don't want to get to the level of just being stagnant, staying in place, stationary. That's when mold and gross stuff begins to grow. Hey, we all got to get that point where it's just like, okay, do you ever feel like that? Do you ever get that place where it's like nothing's going right? Maybe it's just because we need God to do more. We're not asking. We're not pleading. We're not going to Him and just boldly coming to the throne saying, Lord, I need you in this department. I need you in this area. I need you here. Sometimes we're just, I know I am. Sometimes I'm just, I'm comfortable with where I'm at. I'm comfortable with what's going on. And so that's where it's at. As my Christianity stagnant, the point that I don't want to go out of my way to help a fellow brethren. We look at verse 4 then. Verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that he might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But let patience have her perfect work and entire, wanting nothing. The verse is saying our patience, we need to be mature and complete, not wanting more. Not wanting more. It's the opposite of the teenager. They're never full. Those people they're always wanting, right? They can never be satisfied. They want more and more. The more I can put on, I've got now 3 in the teen department now. And so it just feels like, you know, they have an empty leg and it never ends. Daddy got more to eat? You can ask your mom. Find out from her. But maybe that should be us. Maybe we should be that, never satisfied. Always wanting. Always wanting in the Christian life. I want more. I hunger and I desire to have more. I want to have more. The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work. And it may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then we go on, we see that it becomes then a battle of what can I handle? Or is it, I'm right at where I should be, I've got enough. It becomes a balancing act. It's what it is sometimes in the Christian life is, where do I put this fire out or do I let this one go? Where do I go here with it or do I not go here with this? It's a balancing act sometimes. And it shouldn't be that way. We see then in verse number 5, the need to ask for God's help. The need for God. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let any of you lack wisdom. That'd be me. I'm there. Right there. Let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally. He's got plenty. In fact, he's so much, he'll liberally give it to you. Man, gone are the days of which is maybe not a bad thing, but of the all-you-can-eat buffets. They're gone, but man, sometimes we need to have that. Just pile it on. Give me some more. He'll do it liberally. But again, maybe we're at that stage of, I'm going to stop right here. Because I know it's going to require this. can I remind us here, verse 5, if you lack that wisdom, ask God. He'll give you the help you need. He'll give it right to you. And not only that, He'll give it to you liberally. He's not asking for anybody else to help Him. He's like, I got this. I don't need anybody else. But again, sometimes we fall short of just that desire of, I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. I don't want any more. Sometimes the American philosophy to it is, I've got what I got. I don't look for any more. I don't want any trouble. Leave me be. And I don't see that. I see some people that were being persecuted, dispensed, driven from where they lived, their own homeland. They were going through trials. No doubt they were lacking the wisdom they really needed. He's just trying to encourage them. Hey, fellas. Hey, folks. You're probably going to lack some wisdom along the way if it already hasn't happened. When it comes, go to God. Get to Him. We see, and He says, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That word upbraideth, it means to find fault. Upbraid, the word upbraid means to find fault. God's not looking to find. He said upbraideth not. He's not looking to find that fault. In fact, that was the illustration real quick. I worked on a horse farm. And if you know any of that, again, part of that word braid, working around horses. And some of those girls would come in and they would spend hours on braiding the horses, man. I mean, hours, or the tail. I mean, just hours on that. And they would go to show and they'd show these horses. And then you'd watch that horse come back from it and they'd take all those braids out and they would spend, again, hours combing back through to get all the knots and the things from that horse. And then you know what that horse would do? He'd get out the pasture and he'd dive right on the dirt as fast as he could find it. All the work, all the effort that was put in by that girl on that horse went back to what horses do. Wallowed back in the dirt again. Back to what he is. You know, sometimes we get cleaned up for church. We get all the things back and then we go the rest of the week and we wallow back in the same things we were in before we came to church. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we go back to those same things, those same testings, those same trials? I'm going to pick it back up again. Why? Why go back there again? So that's the nature of it. And it might be, but God can help. He's there. He wants to help us, liberally help us. We just have to ask Him. Let him ask. Ask of God. And it shall be given him. It shall be. Not might be, it shall be. It used to be a day and time where the old timers, they go where they needed something, maybe even to purchase something. They didn't have the money to do it right then. They go to the bank or they go to somebody that hasn't. And they said, hey, I really could use what you have. I don't have the money right now, but I'll pay you later. I'll come back and I'll give it to you, the money later. You know, that promissory note, you've heard that terminology used before, but it was a promise at the beginning. That's really what it was. They'd say, I'll be back here on Friday. I don't have the money for gas right now, but I'll come back on Friday. I'll pay. And they paid it. Try that today. That ain't happening. There's no way. You know, again, sometimes there we are. God, I need this. Really could help me right now. Forget, go back and pay God. Thank you, Lord. You answered. You did it again. You came through. He does it over and over and over again. And I don't know why. And I'm the same. Worry about it. How's this going to get done? He does it. He answers it. He gets it done. We're too busy sometimes worrying about that. And I'll finish and close with this. I know some of you are looking at that clock over there in those 8:03. Verses 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We see here in the passage of Scripture, if you will, it's like trying to navigate a boat in a storm with no paddles, trying to go upstream against God. It's not going to work. It's not going to get done. The Christian life, like James, I think, is just trying to challenge the people. It's It's Jesus and me. Through every heartache, through every trial, as the song says, it's Jesus and me. That's how it needs to be. It's just us and Jesus. We need Him to intervene in some of the things that are going on in our life. I'll leave you with an illustration in closing. One time on vacation, we had gone down to Kentucky Lake, and my wife and I had just gotten married, and I think you were pregnant with Kara at the time, so we had Leah, and we went down to Kentucky Lake with my family, and we were doing what we enjoy doing, which is fishing, and get some fishing time in. And so we were out down the lake. Well, we had rented or we had brought, I can't remember, some jet skis, and I had found they had a big quarry there. And so I came back on one of the jet skis, and I told my dad, I said, hey, we need to go over and look at this quarry. And I did call and ask him, because he's vouching for, you know, my liberal speaking on the subject, but I just want to make sure I was right on what I'm saying. But we took a pontoon boat with a 40-horse engine across the Tennessee River. So we're on one side of the lake to cross the Tennessee River all the way to this quarry. And kind of give you an idea of this lake and the Tennessee River, it's big enough they push barges through the Tennessee River. So big, it's big. And so we get across the other side, nice day, beautiful out. We're enjoying the quarry. In fact, I got up 30, 40 feet, jumped off of it, and survived. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And we were seeing these other boats that were in there and just looking at the, you know, the enormity of the rock wall and how they carved that thing. And we were watching and looking at this thing, and we're all of a sudden, all these boats, and didn't hear anything, didn't say anything, all these boats leave. We're the only ones left in there. And so, oh, that's nice. We're all by ourselves. You know, here we are. And all of a sudden, and Dad looks at us and says, it's time to leave. It's time to go. And so no sooner we got out of that, the opening of that quarry into the main part of the river there, and it starts pouring down rain and pouring down rain. You know anything about a storm on the water? At the same time, the waves and the wind kicks up. And it just gets to the point on this 40-horse engine motor on this pontoon boat, it's struggling. And it's struggling to the point where I believe it was me. We couldn't verify. I can't remember exactly. I was up front, and Dad said, we need more weight in the back end of this boat. Get back here. Because the waves were hitting the front, the bow of that boat, and just coming over the front of it. And we're smacking into those waves. Again, if you've ever been on a boat, you know kind of the direction you're supposed to go and how to handle those things. And Dad's taking them just right. And I remember looking over and seeing my dad's face. Very few times I ever saw him nervous. And like, what is going to happen? And my expression from what I got of his expression was he was concerned. What is going to happen to us? Are we going to capsize in the middle of this river? What is going to happen? And you know what? A 40-horse motor trying to push across this river just wasn't going well. It just was not happening. And we're pushing, and just seemed like maybe it was just that passing, you know, summertime, that passing rainstorm that came through and eventually plowed over to the other side. We didn't sink, praise the Lord, and we made it. And sometimes we try. The illustration is given, but for this purpose, sometimes we try and hit those storms of life in our 40-horse motor. And when we need the two twin 200-horse jet-propelled motor of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us, we settle for the 40-horse. It's like, I'm going to try to get it done. Going to try to get it accomplished on my own. It just doesn't work, folks. It just doesn't happen. You know, we try to push through. It doesn't happen. And sometimes, yes, we need to balance the boat. We need to shift some direction or look in a different area. That's what we need to do as a Christian. We need to focus sometimes on somebody else's problems, or maybe just to shift the balance of faith to the right areas of our Christian life. So it's that way tonight. I'll close with that is, where are you at? I know where I am. Sometimes I'm in that area of just, I'm good. I got enough. I'm not looking for anybody else's. Maybe you're just looking for an excuse of, I'm good where I'm at. I don't need more. Maybe you need to challenge yourself. I know I was, am. Or I just need to keep maybe looking to somebody else, helping where I can, instead of being satisfied. Or maybe you just need to help that area balance it better. Get to the position where you can help somebody else. This is just the journey of the Christian life, just like James, where we need to be with Jesus at the center of everything. He needs to be the center of everything we do. It's our conversation. It's about Jesus. What we do in work, we'll have joy. He told us that. Is it going to be work? Definitely. Absolutely. It's not, the Christian life is just, it's not worry-free. There are things that happen, but again, know who our captain is. Know who the one who's in control. Let's bow for prayer at this time. Ask Naomi to come to the piano. Brief invitation. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're in one of those places of life where it's just, I'm stagnant. Just nothing seems to be going right. Maybe you need to cast all your cares back on Him. Maybe it's a balance thing. I got too much here and I need to make the right choices. Lord, I need your help. Balance some things better. Maybe you just need to be challenged on working a little harder. Some of those testings that He brings along the way. Christian life is full of those. Just test after test after trial after tribulation. Or maybe you just need to look on that new Christian. Somebody else. Be a help to them. As we stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, as the music plays, the altar's open.